This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Presented by Gerritsen Building Supply. Another look back at last year's Archie Creek fire, the impacts it has had in the community in a lot of different ways. Javier Gualathare from Communities for Healthy Forests, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me in, Kyle. Appreciate this.
Well, first of all, just set the scene for folks if they're not familiar with your organization. Tell us what that's all about.
So Communities for Healthy Forests was organized, began organizing back in 2003 after the horrendous fire season we had the previous year in 2002. Those of us that were still here then suffered the smoke almost all summer long when we lost almost 1 million acres of land to wildfire in the southwest part of the state, the Biscuit Fire being the biggest one at 500,000 acres.
And so what kind of folks are involved with your organization? Where do they come from?
Oh, we have, the membership has changed over the years as people have aged and so on. I mean, Don Cruz was one of the early ones, Bruce Klein, Sue Schaefer. We've unfortunately lost those folks, but we still have a wide representation from the business community, the local community, educators, tribal members and retired foresters and so on.
So last year when Archie Creek happened, first of all, when did you first hear about it?
When I first heard about it was when Karen and I were driving back from a short weekend vacation in Central Oregon, and we suddenly could not come down Highway 138 to get home. And that was on Tuesday morning, early Tuesday morning.
And what did you, what were your first, what bits of information did you get first?
Well, the initial thing, I mean, there was nothing on the news at that point other than there was fire all over. But the horrendous smoke that was inundating Interstate 5 as we came down from Eugene into Roseburg, and then seeing the huge column of smoke as we were able to see to the east over the top of Mount Scott to the head of the fire, and it went from there. Just one report after another about all of the evacuations and the destruction that was coming. The winds were absolutely horrific that previous day and that day on the 8th as well.
So how was it that, or when was it that you got to go back into some of the fire area?
The earliest I was able to get back in there was probably early November. Got together with some of the firefighter folks and got escorted in part of the area and to see the after effects. And it was just a sad situation, seeing all the burned homes and all of the burned forest land as far as you could see.
And you obviously know a lot of folks with the different timber companies and landowners in that area. I'm sure you began to have conversations with them and see what they were planning to do next.
Oh, absolutely. And it was almost a simultaneous reaction from the private landowners that, number one, they were already out in the process of removing the dead burnt trees to restore those lands. And at the same time, they were already getting seedlings out of their coolers and sticking them in the ground in November rather than waiting till later on, because time is of the essence in terms of recovery and restoration of these burned over forest lands. The longer we wait, the harder it is.
You've been here a long time. When you go out to some of those areas now compared to how they looked a day before Archie Creek, it's just night and day.
Yeah, it truly is. And it just, like I said, it's just so sad to see all the dead burned forest, the old forest that lined the river corridor going all the way up to Steamboat and going up Rock Creek, just a horrific sight. And that doesn't speak to all the homes and all the lives that were impacted.
So in the months since, as work has begun to get some of the dead lumber out of there, how do you feel like it's progressing now?
Well, it's incredible how much black wood has been coming into the our local manufacturing facilities. I mean, we started seeing burnt charred logs, like I said, as early as October, and that's continued at a tremendous pace. I'm just guessing that we're probably looking at 400 or 500 truckloads a day that have been coming in since everything got geared up, like in early December. Things have slowed down now, but we're still seeing a lot of burnt logs coming in, which is rather incredible because in past fires, Stouts Creek, Douglas Complex, and others before that, we were seeing bugs infest the trees, the dead killed trees, and making most of the logs non-merchantable, unusable for good manufacturing lumber. This time around, for whatever reason, there are some insects that are boring into the wood, but it's minimal from everything manufacturing folks are telling me. So that's a blessing in some way that we're able to capture more of those dead trees and get them off the land and put them to use to make lumber and plywood that we desperately need in our for home building. So the private landowners, they've really been going busy and getting a lot of the wood removed. Unfortunately, the federal lands have not moved a whole lot. I think today the BLM is holding some timber sales. I think they're planning on selling something like 25 million board feet of timber, which is a mere drop in the bucket of all of the mortality that the federal lands are holding out there.
Now, what about with all of this timber gone? I mean, prior to that, you had old growth, you had trees of all kinds of ages, but now it's like starting from scratch.
That's exactly right. This fire, because of it was literally a blowtorch with 60, 80 mile an hour winds blowing down the North Umpqua Canyon, it just cooked all of the standing vegetation. So all the ages come back to zero. And the private landowners, they've got good plans in place to reforest. They should be pretty well finished reforesting their burned over lands within the next 2 to 3 years. The BLM, I think, has gone out and gathered together seedlings wherever they could to get some of their ground replanted. I'm not sure what percentage that is. And the Forest Service, they've got some plans to do some reforestation, but the caveat is they may not have the money to replant those areas because there's no funding available to pay for the planting because they're not harvesting the trees.
So what are your thoughts about how this is going to impact our region going forward?
This is going to have a huge impact. I mean, not just in terms of the scenery, the water quality, the wildlife habitat, but long term, it's going to be a very long time before these lands are green and growing again, before these lands will be of suitable harvest age that will be able to supply the manufacturing facilities. So at best, the trees that are being planted now will be available for harvest in 50 years. But my fear is that probably half of the land that burned will not get reforested.
Javier Gualathare, Communities for Healthy Forests, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you very much, Kyle. Appreciate the opportunity to share some issues with the community.
8:41 Morning Conversation, a presentation of Garrett's at Building Supply.